to the choir master, a psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day. For darkness is as light as day. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? Do not loathe those who rise up against you. I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
I want to say thanks to Mike Cunningham, who did the voice work for that video. Mike is going through chemotherapy right now, and if you ever wonder if you can still serve the church in certain circumstances, Mike's an example of that. So I want to thank Mike for doing that and really worshiping the Lord in that. Praise God. Let me lead us in prayer this morning as we get started. Father, thank you for your wonderful word, which speaks of who you are. And thank you that you know. Thank you that you are there. Thank you that you are able. Thank you that your searchlight searches us. I pray that today, as we conclude our time in this marvelous psalm, Psalm 139, that you would soften our hearts so that we might choose to be searched by you. Your light is sufficient to find us and to track us and to hem us in behind and before, as the psalmist says. But Father, I pray that we would come to the same conclusion that David did and to exclaim, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." For the glory of Jesus, we pray all of this. Amen. So we are closing out this morning our Searchlight series. Boy, I am going to miss Psalm 139 as a regular part of my spiritual diet these next few months. It's been incredible to get into the psalm. And I pray that the Psalm 139 challenge has been an encouragement to you as you've gotten into the psalm. I've gotten numerous texts and calls and emails from people telling me what an encouragement the psalm has been and how encouraging it's been to enter into the challenge so that you got into the Word of God on the front end before the sermons. And so I want to just tell you, Psalm 139 challenge is no gimmick. It should be a staple for all of us. So I want to just encourage you and challenge you to be getting into the Word in advance of each Sunday. And so I will take it upon myself to try and do a better job of letting you know ahead of time where we'll be in some of our preaching so that you can continue the challenge. And so praise God for the Psalm 139 challenge. And I imagine all of you who got into the challenge understood more clearly and more deeply and more intimately what it means to have God's searchlight be on you. We've talked all throughout this series about His searchlight and how the psalmist starts the psalm with, "You have searched me and known me," and then concludes the psalm with, "Search me, O God." And my prayer is that this searchlight has revealed incredible things to you. His searchlight has revealed incredible things to you about His person and about yourself in relation to Him. And I want to start and front end this morning. If you are not in Christ, Scripture talks about people being in Christ. Let me explain what that means. A person is in Christ when he or she trusts Jesus Christ alone to save him or her. And when I use the word save, what do I mean by that? I mean save from death. Now, we all will die. The odds are 100% that we will die. The only possibility of us not dying is if Jesus Christ returns and takes us back to himself, as Scripture talks about. But other than that, the odds are 100% that you'll die. But it's not just a physical death I'm talking about. I'm talking about eternal death. I'm talking about spiritual death. And I'm talking about eternity separate from this great God in Psalm 139 that we're talking about. And I want to just challenge you to look at the spotlight and the searchlight in these passages that I will share with you right now. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Ephesians 2, 1-3 says, "We were dead in our trespasses and sins." So weak is part of the issue, but it's dead, unable to respond, unable to save ourselves. While we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Just watch His searchlight come and find us in this passage. "For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." How did that happen? Look at what John chapter 1, verses 12 through 14 says. "But to all who did receive Jesus," Jesus didn't say, "You come to me, you make it to me, you do enough to get to me." He came to us. That's the distinguishing factor of all systems of religious belief, all faiths, all worldviews, is that the God-man, Jesus Christ, came to us. And to all that did receive Jesus, who believed in His name, who trusted Jesus alone to stand in the place of us as sinners before God, and to take the penalty of sin with the shedding of His blood, and to conquer sin and provide life with His resurrected life, To all who believe in this Jesus, in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This is a God birth. He makes the new life come alive. And the Word, this is Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. He shined his searchlight on mankind, and he came. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let me tell you what I don't want you to do today. I don't want you to bask in the beauty of Psalm 139. We've had beautiful pictures showing while the psalm has been showing on the screen, and we've sung the psalm essentially this morning in two different ways. Thank you, Lauren and Austin, for that beautiful psalm. And then we sang it again every week during this series. And I would hate for you to leave here deluded in thinking that this God is for me and he's on my side and I'll just keep going in my own sinful path. No, this God is for all of us, yes, but trust Jesus alone to save you. It says God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And if he's stirring your soul this morning, I challenge you that he may be calling you to repentance, to trust Jesus alone to save you, to be that God who is there all the time because you are in Christ. You are saved by him. And so no matter what else I say this morning, throughout the entire course of the morning, it matters not if you are not trusting Jesus alone as your Savior. And so I challenge you to turn to Jesus today. Call on his name, to believe in his name, and he will indeed give you the right to become his child. And you will be born again, as the scripture speaks of, because he, Jesus, shined his searchlight on us, came to us. And so as we get into Psalm 139, I want us to consider, and we're going to climax at verses 23 and 24 as we think about heart, thoughts, ways, and the way. Heart, thoughts, ways, and the way. And we're going to quickly go through each stanza. As you recall, all of the stanzas build on one another and speak of God's person and his attributes, and then they climax or culminate in the last stanza where the psalmist David pretty much says, okay, I'm siding with God in verses 19 through 22 in light of who he is, and in verses 23 and 24, I proclaim my trust in him. I proclaim his greatness. I call on him to search me, to try me, to observe me, to see me, and to lead me. So let's take a look at each of these marvelous stanzas this morning. Psalm 139, verse 1 through 6, God knows. Before I read this paragraph, let me just challenge you to think about your circumstances. I told you a little bit about mine before first service. I learned about this. It's going to be a busy day. Sundays are always busy for me and always a focus time, and my dear wife is super sweet to me about it, and she just sort of gives me a wide berth and lets me prepare and lets me get ready. But she shared with me, and I'm glad she did, about one of my kids going and getting a test. Apparently she can't smell or taste right now. So we'll see what happens. God knows about Chloe Ann. He knows about me. He knows about you. You've got your circumstance right now. Whatever it is that you are going through, he knows you. He knows every one of us here. And it says here, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. Remember that mirrorism we talked about? This a way of poetically in the Hebrew saying kind of near and far. It's a way of saying all of the terrain. You know when I sit down, when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path, my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. And if I were to pick out one sentence that summarizes those six verses, it would be the very first sentence. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. That word search, just to remind you of our first sermon in this series, is a word that means to examine or investigate or explore. It was used in its common day use in terms of digging in the earth, digging deep in the earth. God digs into our lives, past the surface to the core, and examines and investigates and explores with a thoroughness that exceeds any of our definitions. And he has known me. He has known you. This word means perceive or discriminate or distinguish. I love that because it means he discriminates and distinguishes all the parts of me, and really by implication and extension, he discriminates me and what is unique about me from you and what's unique about you. He knows you and who you are, and he knows me and who I am. Customize, complete. And he does so by experience, by being in relationship with us. He knows us. The next stanza tells us that God is there. Just let those three words, that simple sentence, just soak in that for a minute. What's your circumstance? Where are you dealing with things right now? Where has God got you? Three words. God is there. God is there. And this leads the psalmist to exclaim, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. Let that last phrase sink in. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. Again, examine the circumstances of your life. Call them to mind right now. Chances are, and as a pastor, I get let in on these things from time to time, that most people at any given moment have an area of their life that feels dark and isolated, painful. Three words. God is there. And in his being there, that darkness that you feel surrounding you is as light to God, the one who is there. The night is bright as the day with him. God is there. David goes on to say, God is able. Call to mind again your circumstance, your path, your journey. Is there a mountain in front of you? Is there a hurdle erected before you? Is there a ditch around the corner? Is there an object that seems immovable in your path? God is able. I mean, he created the world out of nothing. He's created every single one of us in this room. For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I'm still with you. This word wonderful means marvelous, surpassing, extraordinary, distinguished, wonder, awe. We've taken the word wonderful, and I do it myself. I inherited it from my parents. They use the word wonderful a lot in how they talk with people. But I think I've cheapened it a little bit. Wonderful, wonder, awe. Marvelous, surpassing, extraordinary are your works. My soul knows it very well. And this word has the sense of, especially regarding difficult things. So wonderful are your works, even in the face of those most difficult of circumstances and those most difficult of trials. Wonderful, surpassing, marvelous, extraordinary are your works, O God. Yes, indeed, God is able. And then finally, in the last stanza, I appreciate somebody said to me, why'd you give Weston the short straw? And I asked him about it. Are you okay preaching this imprecatory psalm? And he's like, bring it on, bro. He loved it. And he was excited about it. And he did a great job teaching me a lot about imprecatory psalms, about do we love the things God loves and hate the things God hates? When is the last time he challenged us that we've grieved over sin? Like David does here in this psalm. Boy, what a conviction that was for me. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Notice, it's all about God in his prayer here. It's not about him. You slay the wicked, men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you. I am riled up because they're against you, God, and I'm siding with you. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. That word complete is important for what I'm about to share with you, because the psalmist gets to a point where he's able to say here, I don't have a divided heart in the matter. I've got a whole heart. And it's on your side. It's with you. I love what you love. I hate what you hate. I count them my enemies. And I want to slow down for just a few minutes on these last two verses, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We've been through this word search before. I talked about it in the beginning, and it's searching for us and searching through us. It's searching us to find us, and it's searching us as he's found us in every part of us. It's a thoroughness that is God-sized. It's complete. Search me. So the psalmist, after all that has been said, after he says all of these things about God who knows, God who is there, God who is able. He sides with God in this last stanza, and then he finishes, of all the things he could say, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me." The word "try" here is examine me, scrutinize me, test me, prove me, as you would do with a precious metal. Try me and know my thoughts. I love this word "thoughts" here. It's some translations might even say my anxious thoughts. It's got the idea of a disquieting thought life. And a common use of this word besides just thoughts here is also used for the word idle, not I-D-L-E, but I-D-O-L, idle. Know my thoughts. Where am I divided? Where am I serving another God besides you? Where am I worshiping less than you? Try me, test me, prove me out. And know my thoughts. Make them whole. Make them complete, as verse 22 says. Complete hatred. That's why that phrase is so important there. See, observe, look, if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And so, as we come to this last two sentences of the psalm, we have a choice to make. Will we call on the Lord as David calls on the Lord to search us? Let me personalize it. Will I say, "Search me, O God"? Will you say, "Search me, O God, and know my heart"? Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I want to challenge you to grab the connection card that's near you if you're here worshiping in person, and you can do this online if you're joining us in our live stream this morning. There's three challenges I want to give to us this morning. First, I will choose to be searched by God. I will choose to be searched by God. I think it's remarkable as you consider all of the depth of this psalm, all of the beauty of this psalm, all of the marvelous content, deep and rich content of this psalm. The psalmist David comes to the end and he says again, of all the things he could say, he says, "Search me. Search me. You are the great God who knows. You are the great God who is there. You are the great God who is able. Where else would I turn but to you, O God? Search me." Will you choose to be searched by God? Hebrews 4, 12 and 13 says, and this is why I think it's so crucial that we track with the vision of our church, which is we are a church family that is engaging the Bible, pursuing Christ-centered relationships, and sharing the good news of Jesus. Listen to what Hebrews 4, 12 and 13 says about engaging the Bible as it relates to choosing to be searched by God. "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." We are a church family that is engaging the Bible, but if you're not engaging the Bible, how can you allow him and choose for him to search you in light of what Hebrews 4, 12 and 13 says? I want to challenge you to be in the Word of God. It is living and active. It pierces to the division of soul and spirit. It discerns your thoughts and intentions. But how would that even be possible if you're not engaging in the Word daily? So this is no casual choice that I'm challenging us with. This is saying, I will meet you, Lord, in the quiet whispers of your Spirit as I open your Word. And when your Spirit convicts me of sin as I open your Word and I see your way and then the way I'm going, what will I do? Hebrews 3:13 says, exhort one another every day as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And then Hebrews 10:24-25, which is a verse I will be in next week. So if you want to do a challenge, go ahead and just get into Hebrews 10:19-25 this week. It'll give you a little bit of runway up to next week's sermon. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Do you see that God uses his Word, and he uses that second plank, pursuing Christ-centered relationships, to search us? So will I choose to be searched by God? Secondly, I will ask God to transform my inner and outer ways. You know, we can look good on the outside and we can talk a good game, can't we? But it's what's in the inside that really counts. God sees the heart and cares about the heart, the inner person. Philippians 2:12-13 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. This isn't a transformation project that you take on for yourself and it's like a DIY and you say, I'll get it done. No, you lay yourself before God and you work out your salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that it is God who is working in you both to have the will for him to transform you and to give you the strength to act in such a way that he will transform you. It is God's work. So will you ask God to transform your inner and outer ways today? And finally, I'll choose to walk in God's everlasting way. That last phrase of the psalm is marvelous. And lead me in the way everlasting. I will choose to walk in God's everlasting way. Ephesians 2:10 says, you're his workmanship, his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. Will you walk in his everlasting way that he has marked out for you? Psalm 119:105, again, engaging the word, says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. How, again, would we ever hope to walk in God's everlasting way if we are not going to his word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path? I praise God for Psalm 139. I'm grateful for it. And I pray that it will take root in our lives.